Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
At this time, we get into a pretty interesting discussion on local government elections. And joining us on the program this morning, former Port of Spain Mayor Louis Lee Sing. Good morning to you and welcome to our program.
Good morning to you and happy to be here with you. And Dr. Amitan.
And of course, our second guest, he's been here before in more than one incarnation. Let's welcome back to our program, Dr. Suresh Ratan Ramachan. Good morning to you.
Morning to you, Satish. And morning to my good friend, Mayor Lee Sing. How are you, sir?
Not as good as you, my friend.
Pleasantries aside, we're here to discuss what seems to be the hot topic in Trinidad and Tobago at this point in time for more than one reason. We've been discussing it since probably November last year. Local government elections, what should happen. The government took a decision that on May 18th, the Privy Council ruled was not the right decision. Since then, we've had a flurry of activity. The Senate debates today legislation to legitimize all that transpired, and we're expecting a local government election date. Our topic this morning is, are we ready for local government elections in the current state that we're in? Let's begin with that question to both of you. You were both mayors of some of the largest organizations in local government, Port of Spain and Chaguanas, huge in their own regards, and you would have been following all that has transpired with the new legislation, the amendments, what's been passed, what's been proclaimed partially, and all else that needs to be put in place, and the entire bacchanal with postponing the election for a year and everything else. Let's begin with former Port of Spain Mayor Louis Lee Sing. You think you're ready to go to elections, local government elections now?
Before I answer that, if you would give me 1 minute, I couldn't help but be entertained by the earlier discussion on this question of stealing the election. I want to make the point that there are many ways to steal something in politics. And on the last at the last Tobago House of Assembly election, there was a tie, and the government nor the opposition at that point were able to find a way to resolve the matter, though I felt there were already, as it were, precedent for solving the problem. The government, in its wisdom or lack of wisdom, felt it had a better opportunity. And for reasons best known to who decided at the EBC that there would be, as it were, an additional number of constituencies or districts or seats, if you wish. So we moved from, I think it was 11 or 12 to 15. The bulk of the additions were done in the PNM stronghold. But as faith and the people would have it, it was on one occasion when the voice of the people was certainly the voice of God. As faith would have it, that even though the math suggested that if you increase the number of seats in PNM strongholds, the PNM should get the majority of seats, on this occasion that did not happen. And so I thought I would add that to the discussion as people begin to talk about stealing the election. Mm. Because I know what was the debate and the discussion, but that certainly remained with me as an opportunity to speak to, and I trust you would take it up in a later campaign, later program. Now, are we ready? This country is always ready for elections. This country, I think, understands the democratic process. Trinidad and Tobago, if you call 100 elections in a year, would respond to the 100 elections. The question is, how many people in the population responds to the call for elections? Port of Spain, for example, Port of Spain South, Dr. Williams' stronghold constituency, and the PNM believes it's a stronghold. There are 29,000 voters. And the PNM has won that constituency by 11,000 votes. It says to me that there are 19,000 people who have not been voting. And the question is why, and how do we get these people to vote? So I'm saying to you, the hardcore of the politics, which is to say, the mustard and the ketchup, their supporters are always ready for elections. So if you want me to respond to the question, are we ready? I would say the country is always ready.
Okay. And Dr. Rambachan.
Well, I want to agree with my friend Mayor Lee Singh in that the country is always ready for an election and people, you know, are willing to vote. However, I also want to share his view that I think that we need to find out why are so many people lethargic? Why are so many people not participating in what is a very important process, the democratic process, whether it is local government election or general elections? I think that our country has not given the kind of importance, as the voter that is, has not given the kind of importance that it must give to local government elections, and especially in the context of the reforms that have been proposed, that if these reforms are really implemented as they should be, and given the resources, the local government will then be playing a much more important role in the lives of people. And I'm always very concerned about, you know, the lethargy of the population in terms of voting at local government elections. It is distressing, for example, that in Port of Spain, a person can win a city council seat just getting 600 votes.
Or in 400.
And that is distressing, very, very distressing. And when, in fact, the very people come back and complain afterwards about the condition of Port of Spain, about the manner of governance in Port of Spain, the administrative areas, the garbage collection, the drainage situation, and so on. When, in fact, very good people with very good skills have been placing themselves before the electorate in order to be given the opportunity to make a change. So where's the lethargy coming from? I want to suggest also that our people are not unintelligent when it comes to the issues and voting. Louis made the point, which is an excellent point, that you know, over time people vote differently, like they voted in Tobago. That's an excellent example of where people cross lines. In Trinidad, we make the argument that people are voting along racial lines. I am saying that that is a fallacy in itself, because you had the situation in 1981, 91,000 persons crossed the line. In 2007, 147,000 persons crossed the line with the COP. You had the situation where the NAR won 33-3. You had a local government elections in which the accommodation handsomely won against the PNM in about 1983. And then in 1995, also Mr. Pandey won. So it is not that I think that people are voting along racial lines, but I think that people need to be convinced and inspired about the leadership that's presenting themselves before the people and the way that the issues are articulated for the people. We tend to feel that people don't know what the issues are and people don't vote on the issues. But I'm giving you some examples where, in my view, people have voted beyond race and voted along the issues. And had that not taken place, you would not have changed from the PNM. So I think that the leadership of the parties need to examine how they are presenting their case before the population.
And let's focus and zero in on local government elections and the lack of engagement, for want of a different term. You have these very low numbers, and that's cause for concern, because you have a minuscule amount of people deciding who gets to run the affairs of the various regional corporations and city councils and everything else. How do we get, or let's try to find out, if we can, why is there this lack of engagement for local government election, lack of respect, whatever you want to call it. I don't know which one of you wants to go first in suggesting why people just don't seem to care too much about local government elections.
Suraj, you're going or you want me to go?
No, go ahead. I'll follow you.
Let me put it this way. Local government will only come to be mean something when central government agrees to give it its autonomy. Local government thus far, certainly from the perspective of Port of Spain, and from what I know, has always been treated as if it is an outside child. The party normally sends people to campaign and to canvass and to form the Port of Spain Council with very little talent and very little knowledge of what is the requirement and what is the assignment. People don't know, they come to council and they don't know what is a motion, they don't know what is a resolution, they don't take time to understand the committee structure and how it works and its importance, so they miss the meetings, and the list goes on. But if you have a strong leadership in the Port of Spain Corporation, you will soon begin to find that the entire corporation begins to understand the important role each and everyone plays in the management of the city. If you have serious leadership, even with a poor crop of councillors and aldermen, you can, as it were, do the job with efficiency. I want to go a little further and say to you, the people of the city certainly would want to be excited about local government if they were brought into local government.
Correct.
I remember under my watch, I had 22 or 24 town meetings in the 39 months I served. And when I went there, I would tell the people that I had a meeting with the Minister of Local Government, Dr. Rambichan, and we were able to resolve a long outstanding matter that remained on the back burner for a year with the previous minister. And I would say, soon you will be getting new compactors to remove your garbage, be changing the system, what we're doing about health, and I'm saying to you, people came out. Imagine a meeting in Desperately Crescent where you have 90 people. Desperately Crescent is one of the hottest spots in East Port of Spain. So I'm merely throwing this in. I don't intend to monopolize the thing, but I'm saying to you, if the people become part of the process by the work that the council does, local government could come to mean everything. Under the new regulations, as Dr. Rambichan pointed out, we cannot, as it were, place the responsibilities of the city or of any of our boroughs, any part of our country, in the hands of people who do not understand the assignment. As I always say, if you can't do the job, don't volunteer for it. Doc?
Yeah, I'm an agreement with you. How do you, that it is... It is our responsibility to engage the people. Just like yourself, I used to take my statutory meetings to the different villages and different communities. And at the statutory meetings, allow the public to also speak and bring their problems before, as it were, the full council, rather than writing letters and what have you. And I found that there was a higher level of awareness in Chaguanas, the borough where I was, during that time. And that, you know, people, even the business community was speaking more and more about local government. And they were engaged more and more, to a greater extent, with the corporation, borough corporation, than, you know, I had envisaged. And that is because of how you chose to engage them and bring them into the process. I agree with you, Louis, that people really just don't know what local government does for them, unless they have a problem with a stock drain or something and so on. And then they realize, well, who's my counselor or what have you? And that is part of the lethargy I'm talking about. That you know, people are sitting on the sidelines of this country, allowing people to govern for them, and only realize poor governance when they individually and personally have a problem. And therefore, that's why I'm saying that, you know, we need... And I hate to use the word education. We need to educate people about the importance of local government in the governance of their affairs. And that to me is a gap. It's still a big gap.
We've had...
But come back to the question about whether we are ready for the election. There are two things here that are important. One, the Elections and Boundaries Commission can run an election anytime. So from that point of view, we are ready for election. But what is significant for me is that if we are going to enter an election and we are going to have the new arrangement, the new organization structure, the new divisions and what have you, I am not seeing, neither am I aware, that work has been done with the councils and the corporations in order to effect that transition, as the transition should be effected at the point where the new councils are elected. And, you know, I am trying to talk to a couple of corporations and a couple of people within the UNC in particular, asking, well, you know, what processes are you now using in order to attract people who are going to be capable of heading these divisions under and managing the resources as they should be and I'm not getting answers that, you know, make me very happy at all. It seems to be we are going along as usual, and therefore if that happens and we do not have a transition that gives you the proper organization structure with the capable human resources, then we are going to go back to square one. But nothing is going to happen.
But is that not what the amended legislation seeks to achieve? Rather than having persons who are part, quote-unquote, part-time local government councillors, have them full-time with greater responsibilities and checks and balances, I'm sure that both of you would have been following the amendments and the proposed amendments and everything else. What's your view on whether or not some of these challenges that both of you have outlined, will the upgraded amended legislation address those? Mayor Lee Singh, let's start with you first.
But folks, the issue is not the legislation, because if the old legislation gave the incumbent a lot of authority that they never used.
Correct.
Make a point to you. A simple thing as this. No one is permitted to put up a sign, regardless of the size, in the city of Port of Spain. Now, at the point when I had worked out a proper plan, and I was going to, as it were, enforce my plan to ensure that everyone who had a sign in the city make a payment to the city, that would go a long way in terms of the revenues of the city. During the carnival season, people were putting up banners all over the place, and they only stopped when I started to say, listen, would you call that ad agency and tell them for me that they're putting up some white oak banners, and that is going to cost so and so. Immediately, the number of banners shrunk in the city. I'm saying to you that the rules, it's not the rules alone. It has to do with the personnel. And I don't know that any of the political parties have any political schools to induct and to prepare the people who seek to offer themselves for office. If the parties, the political parties, had officer colleges, it would allow for the growth and the development of even the most lowly grassroots person to truly rise up and become an effective leader in a district or in a and in a council. The thing is more than the rules. It has to do with the people who lead the very political parties that have dominated local government. In the context of Port of Spain, the PNM has held Port of Spain for more than 66 years, I think it is. What has changed? What has happened? You know? I mean, simple things. We mooted the issue, the Port of Spain Corporation mooted the issue of the removal of glass bottles from all public spaces and the carnival. Well, we got the carnival, but we didn't get the public spaces. And not a month or two ago, there was a huge bottle pelting incident on our Peter Avenue. I'm saying to you, it has to do with government, leaving local government alone. And if the carnival is in the city of Port of Spain and the Port of Spain Corporation says no glass bottles, that ought to be the rule. But what has happened, there is always, as it were, an interference because people don't understand their responsibilities. And often you find I want to use this language so that people will better understand it. The federal government interfering in the affairs of the boroughs and the cities.
Yeah. Louis, I cannot agree with you more. I mean, you're speaking a language that I love, the language I endorse. And I think we go right into the area of enforcement and the strength of leadership in your corporation. If you have weak mayors and weak chairman, you're not going to get enforcement. Look, you have litter wardens, you have traffic wardens, you have municipal police. In the borough of Shogona, Satish, my thing was about not making friends, but doing the job that was supposed to be done. And I made a lot of enemies because of that. People just didn't like me as a mayor because I was enforcing the rules. And one of those rules was, in fact, had to do with litter wardens. And every week, we had 5 or 6 cases before the magistrate of people who littered or people who didn't remove garbage, including one businessman who was kept over the weekend at the Chagona station because he refused to do what the litter wardens had asked him to do. So we were not afraid. Then you have the situation, you have traffic. What has happened to the litter warden program? While I was there at the ministry as local government minister, Louis Windrose, we trained about 140 litter wardens. I don't know what has happened to that litter warden program. We have also traffic wardens. You have traffic people, the traffic wardens all over the place, but they stand up in corners and they don't do what they're supposed to do, like issuing tickets for bad parking, for example, on the main road of Chagonas or on Ramsaran Street. And one wonders, you know, what are these people doing? Or the municipal police. Mm. The government has said that they have added municipal police to every division, which is correct. But what are these municipal police really doing? How are they enforcing laws in order to make things better in the borough itself? So it is a matter of enforcement. But if you want to play politician to get votes and you refuse to enforce the law, you're going to get chaos, like you're getting chaos now in several areas of Chagonas. For example, on Ramsaran Street, where lines have been drawn to direct traffic in all kinds of ways, and yet vendors are blocking up the very lanes that traffic is supposed to drive upon. And where is the mayor? Mm-hmm. Where is the mayor and the councillors in all of this? You understand? And one can give you numerous examples of where the local government system right now has fallen down, where the economy and economic activity has been affected because of activities that are supposed to be conducted at the level of local government are not being conducted with the efficiency that is supposed to be conducted.
Mm.
You know, we're talking about ready for the election. That's one thing, that's voting. But I'm saying after that, look, why, for example, Louis, have corporations reached to the point where you have one piece of equipment working and you have about 10 pieces parked up? Why? That has to be a matter of mismanagement.
Bridge, but let me make a point on that. Because I think people need to know how central government impacts local government in a serious way. And hopefully the new regulations with the revenue collection and all of that would assist corporations to do their work with consistency. When, during the first year as mayor, I recognized that the Port of Spain Corporation had an unspent balance of $41 million. So we weren't asking for new money. The money was in our account, but we merely, under the rules, we had to get approvals to spend the money. So we had a list of 14 projects, namely to buy compactors, to move garbage and things like that. And for the life of me, I could not get the minister to approve not one item, far less 14. The first day the new minister of local government came in, a fellow called Dr. Suraj Ramachan, he came to office. I went to see him with my CEO and the deputy mayor. And I said, Minister, look, and I explained the case. He looked at the list, and together we went through the list. When I left there, I think 9 or 10 of the items were approved. And those that were not approved, the minister demanded, I want a little more information on this. I want to know about this. And that was provided to him. By the end of a month, we had all our approvals and we were able to do things that we couldn't do. If today Port of Spain have compactors to move garbage, it is because of that decision taken 10 years ago. So that gives you an answer, an idea of how central government has dismantled and emasculated local government. They never wanted it to work. You have a situation where MPs lord over the councillors as if they alone were elected. We've got to recognize that councillors are people who voters go out and elect, and therefore their autonomy and their authority and their importance is no less important than the member of parliament. And the member of parliament must leave the councillors to do their work. They must allow them to, and if they want to work with them, that is all well and good, working in harmony, but don't lord over them and make demands on what funds that are made available to councillors for the benefit of the council.
Okay, go ahead.
I understand that, Louis. And the thing is, when you are a minister at the level of central government, you have to look at yourself differently and provide the resources that need to be provided. And that's one of the things I did. Now, Satish, you'll be surprised to know that. We talk in this country about the importance of local government. We talk about crime and we talk about youth engagement. And then we complain that youths do not have facilities. Under my watch as Minister of Local Government, in 2 years, we built 37 pavilions with community facilities in those pavilions, some of them with fridge, stove, and other things. We built a number of activity centers outfitted with computers and everything in districts where, you know, there was a rise in crime. I do not know, after we left, what has happened to all of those buildings and facilities. But part of that was tied up with the police youth clubs. So just up to today, you still have a very active police youth club being run by Superintendent Ram Kilawan in the Whiteland area. And as well in the Digo Martin area, there's another one. But we were doing that. We were tying up local government with issues in the country and providing resources in order to fight the youth alienation and the youth violence and so on that was taking place. So it can be done. It can be done. But is there a political will to do it that rises above partisan interests? You know, Louis talked about the party school and training people in the different disciplines about local government and so on. Yes, myself and Ramona attempted to start party school within the UNC. And I say publicly today, after the first two sessions, it was shut down.
Mm-hmm.
It was shut down. After the first two sessions were held at the Borough Hall in Chaguanas, it was shut down. And I don't want to call the name of the person in the UNC who was the architect of shutting down, but it was shut down. Why? Why? Because people probably felt that we were getting too close to the councils and so on. You know, people have to rise above their pettiness in the political parties themselves if you have to have a different outcome at the public level.
I remember many years ago when Carol Coffey Dowlett sat on this program. God bless her. She would lament the very same thing. And she would say, well, while people are qualified when it comes to academics, getting into local government requires a different kind of education. And people need to be familiar with what their job really is and what they can and cannot do. And she was lamenting how many ever years ago that was, that there is a lack of training across the board, across political parties, that prepare persons for a life of local government, which is a very demanding role. From what both of you have said this morning, one can infer clearly that the political parties, the main political parties, the UNC and PNM, have dropped the ball on not just educating their persons within local government, some of the newer ones, on what they can and cannot do, but in the quality of candidate that they're choosing in the first place.
Well, let me just stick a pin and tell you something. When I was Minister of Local Government, I did two things in order to effect that. I introduced a lot of training programs. Even as Mayor of Chaguanas, in the borough itself, I had introduced a lot of training programs. But as Minister, I engaged Dr. Vishnu Raghunath and his department in order to develop a degree program or a diploma program or what have you in local government itself. And I remember the first cut of the program they brought to me, it was an amalgam of existing courses and so on that had to be refined in order to deal specifically with, you know, local government and local government training. And in addition to that, I engaged the IOB and asked the IOB to write some case studies on corporations to see how the transformation was taking place so that you could use these case studies back with the both the administrators as well as the councillors in order to effect strategic change in the corporations. A lot of corporations do strategic plans, but the strategic plans are just done for namesake. But whether the strategic plans lead to action programs and the management of those action programs, that's the missing link. And that was the direction I was taking with local government, engaging the university in a process that would be meaningful. And do you know how that came about? That came about because while I was a Minister of Foreign Affairs, we hired a number of young graduates from the who were trained by UAE in international relations, and realized that these people who were trained, supposedly trained, could not write a diplomatic note, had no skills at all in the techniques or the technology that they will have to work with at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And I had to go back to the International Relations Division there and ask them to design a 6-month program to retrain these people so that they can become work productive or work effective. So there's, I'm just telling you some of the problems that exist, not just at the party school level, but at other levels of the society. And that's why sometimes I say that the university needs to look at itself and say, are we really relevant in terms of what the needs of people are to make this place a better functional place or to have it better managed? Yes, we are ready for election. Election can take place. But are we really ready to engage in the transformation that will bring a better quality of life, a better delivery of services to people? That can be done. I have no doubt that can be done. But do you have the leadership that will drive the process?
We need to take a couple quick messages to take us up to the news. And then when we get back after 8, I have both of you for a couple minutes. We'll be taking some calls and continuing our discussion this morning. Our special guests this morning, former Port of Spain Mayor Louis Lee Sing, former Shaguanas Mayor, former MP Dr. Suresh Ratan Rambachan. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
3.5 minutes after 8 to the final hour of our show here this morning. Our special guest for a couple minutes more, former Port of Spain Mayor Louis Lee Sing, and of course, former Shaguanas Mayor, former MP Dr. Suresh Ratan Rambachan. Let's take a couple of your calls as we get into this session before we head back to our interview. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish.
Good morning to you.
And good morning to your esteemed guests, Dr. Rambachan and Mr. Louis Lee Sing, two patriotic soldiers. I want to pay public tribute to them and salute them. Princess Tong here, gentlemen. It is so refreshing to hear these two gentlemen this morning on the radio articulate about local governance. I'm very much inspired, and and I am wondering whether our major political party, in the light of the new reform for local government, etc., and all the changes and so on, the additional resources, are our parties going to present candidates that possess the requisite skills and abilities and potentials to deliver the services and so on that is going to be required by local government, so that we can narrow that gap, as Mr. Louis Sing and these two gentlemen are pointing out over and over again, that gap between the councillors or the local government and the citizens can be narrowed. That is the only way it can be done. You cannot have a situation where you have the governance on one side and you have the councillors on one side, and there's a serious disconnection in what happens in terms of the administration of local government. And I am saying, if our parties fail to do this, well, then we're going round and round in circles again. And this is why I have decided to make a very strong position in this local government election, because this is a critical election in terms of the direction of our country. And I am calling on these two honorable gentlemen to let's hear your voices more and more and more. We need to bring pressure on our leaders to take our citizens seriously. For far too long, we have been abused and abused.
All right, thank you so much. Let's see if we can keep the calls short so we can get as many in as possible. Let's take another one. Hello, good morning.
I'll try and be short. Good morning, Satish. Good morning to Mr. Lee Sing, and good morning to Dr. Rambachan, both gentlemen who I know very well. These morning, local everybody. Government elections, however, has kicked off with the leader of the opposition saying this is a referendum on crime. Now, we really and truly in a serious state in this country, You see, that type of narrative is not going to get us anywhere. Right now, local government reform, as far as I understand, is about 20 years old, at least the talk of it. And we have gotten absolutely nowhere. We're going to get back another local government body, all going to be the same thing again. You know, we operate in this country. You say, oh gosh, you know, we need a mayor for Sandy Grindy, you know, because it gets so big. The horse bolted already. We need to change the way in which we do things. Manzolin and Myra ought to be merged into one and given control by some serious mayor who can make it into a paradise that it should be, a wasted asset. All of these other things are to be done. And we need to talk about these things. When you have a mayor is supposed to have a vision for the geographical space that you want to advocate for. Where is your vision? What are you going to do? All of these things. Good local government reform is missing in this country to give it the teeth that it ought to have in order to operate and to bring some food on the table for the people who want it. And we're talking about local government reform. No, this is a referendum on crime. When we're done, Rowley have to go. Thank you.
Let's take another call before you come. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish. Original. Good morning, Mr. Ramat and Mr. Leasing. Yes. Mr. Leasing, you made a point, and I, that was to the point, right? You made some mention of should the county councillor be guided by the minister or ruled by the minister, right? Council in itself, right, can make decisions on their own, right? And if you make a favor of convenient to the Burgesses and you have made a decision, why was the minister come and say, nah, don't do that? Probably because of some political experience. I was a member of a board of directors in a state company. And it had many a time I spoke out against certain decisions, and especially by the minister, right? And they watch me cookie eye. But if they watch me cookie eye, I have no problem with that, mostly because I'm little Mr. Wong. And you see, that is how democracy works in this country, right? So if you say, well, the minister says so, and this says so, and we have to do so, no. In some instances, yes, but when it comes into the effect that they don't have any ground for the people, Mr. Leasing, I thank you very much at that point. Because to the point, I thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. Before I get your comments, you know, local government, from what my limited understanding of it is really about meeting the needs of the people that you are elected to serve. And the needs are varied. You know, people come to councillors for all different kinds of things. But the system that exists, and both of you will guide me if I'm going wrong, the system that exists is one that has become so convoluted in terms of scoring political points as opposed to getting the job done, that at the end of the day, the person who really suffers is the citizen, the Burgess. Because I spoke to a local government councillor recently who I will not identify for the obvious reason. And the person said to me, we were talking about roads. And the person said to me that they have the ability to fix or patch at least every single road in the electoral district. But they had to be careful how they're doing something like that because they don't want the chairman feel bad or be intimidated or feel threatened or whatever else. Or something like that. That's where the conversation went in that regard. And then I was told another situation where there's a local government councillor who's spending 3/4 of the time outside of this country. His family is out of the country. He always out of the country. How do you serve your people that you were elected to serve if 3/4 of the time that you're supposed to be here, you're somewhere else? And we continue to go back to this thing about local government reform. As gentlemen who've been in the thing, is local government reform really an answer to the problem that confronts us? The many problems?
Well, I don't know if Louis is going to answer, but I think it is. I think that we need local government reform. But Louis made a point earlier that I want to endorse. If you examine the current local government act, the amount of powers you have in there, if that act was even properly enforced and implemented, you would have had very little to do with reform. In the great wider sense that they are attempting now. Just a quick point, you know, the engagement of the community in local government. Recently, Satish, I heard a program on your station, mid-morning program with Govin, and the person, I think his name is Ricardo Mohammed, from Sandy Grande, who's chairman of the Eastern Chambers or what have you, I can't remember. But that gentleman impressed me so much with his vision for that area and the kind of work that he is implementing in a developmental sense, real work that has been done. That, you know, those are the kind of people we have to draw into the ambit of the administration of local government. You cannot have a functioning local government effective if you do not have the engagement of that kind of human resource with that kind of visionary mind, and beyond that, the capacity for implementing it. One more point very quickly, Satish. In terms of people voting, do you remember an organization called BAT, Borough Action Team in San Fernando? When that Borough Action Team came up and they were able to displace the traditional parties and win, I think under Dr. Ramesh Mutu, the late, the San Fernando Borough Corporation. So people, the point I'm making, if people are inspired about what are the issues and why they need to vote differently, people could be moved. They could be moved to do it.
Yeah. I mean, Lee-Sing, your take. Local government, we've been hearing about reform.
Let me say that effective local government really facilitates the effective use of the goods and services available, and it must also be in sync with the needs of the existing NGOs and other citizen-driven organizations. If you get that combination together, you could really build cities, towns, boroughs, you name it. But what we have had, and we need to call a spade, eh? And I always remember the good things that people do. The bad things I also remember more than the good things they do, but I try to remember the good things. Councillors did not have offices in this country until Kamala Prasad Bisesa came along. That would be 50-something years after we had local government going and provided offices for local government. Now, in more ways than one, that should have been something that was there from inception. But a man like Terry Rondon, who served so long and so hard, and who had perhaps the biggest geographical district in all of Trinidad and Tobago, literally operated out of his trunk until he was able to get an office. And even a man like Rondon needed more than one office because his district was so big, but all he got was one office. So I'm saying to you, local government has got to come to mean more than this. And central government, they could talk about all kinds of new legislation and what have you. But until the Prime Minister and the Attorney General get together and develop legislation that changes the Constitution to give real life and meaning to local government, it will remain the same way. Until the Constitution is amended, and note what I'm saying, because what they're going to do, they're going to pass a little semi-meeting in the parliament over which they continue to have control. We don't want that. If we want local government to truly rise and to become something that is meaningful and developmental for the communities of the congregations or what have you and the boroughs, they've got to free it up once and for all. Go to the parliament, and I am sure that they will get the support of the opposition on this matter. I can't see Mrs. Prasad Bisesa and her team not supporting serious strength for local government in the Constitution. Put it in the Constitution. Yeah, and the allocations of money, just as how you're saying to Tobago that they are going to get X percentage of the budget, do the same thing for each borough and each corporation. That Port of Spain Corporation deserves to get 5% of the budget. That Chaguanas deserves to get 5% of the budget. San Fernando deserves to get 5% of the budget. Arima deserves to get 3% of the budget, and so on and so forth. I'm saying we should put it in the Constitution.
We're coming close to the end of the time that I have with both of you, and I want to get your views on what's to come. Because we've spoken about what exists and in the past and some of the proposed changes that both of you think need to happen for local government to become all that it could be. This election that is coming, We're not too sure exactly when we have a date as to by when it should be. It's going to see not just the UNC and PNM contesting, but a host of others who are intent on showing themselves this time around, and they're going to use local government as that platform. MSJ, they've been around. You have PEP, NTA, PDP, and the list goes on and on and on with some of these political parties that have been flexing their muscle one way or the other and are now looking at local government election. Do you believe because of the low numbers that are usually recorded for local government elections that there could be a very different dynamic this time around, or do you believe the status quo will be maintained with the UNC and PNM? Now let's take Mayor Leasing first.
I don't know that we are going to see much of a change, but we are going to see a change. That 19,000 votes in Port-au-Spain South that I talked about, we'll probably see that reduce somewhat, because you do have some players on the ground there who must move people to go to the ballot. Now, I'm optimistic that that will happen. My feeling is that anything that will bring about a change, we've got to stop the stress that the people feel. And the only way we could stop the stress that people feel is if we give others an opportunity to sit at the table to make decisions and to implement new ideas and to drive the agenda. Now, let me also say to you before I go, in local government, from where I sat, there was always a lot of wastage. And I remember having a conversation with the then leader of the opposition. He called me a morning and he said, "Lee Singh, go easy with that trade union." And I said, "What trade union?" He said, "The trade union by you, you know, they've always supported us and we're going to need them to get back in office." And I said to him, I said, "Boy, you hearing yourself? I say, if I can't fix something when we're in opposition, you go fix it when you're in government." Well, needless to say, he really didn't appreciate that kind of thing. So much so that when I took on the might of others to safeguard the property, which is now known as West Park Savannah, and which I named West Park Savannah, and I would put anybody to the test and ask them, "How do you name it? How did it get its name?" And they won't be able to tell you. I could tell you. I am seeing that he is on record as saying that is his greatest achievement in the 29 years he has been the Member of Parliament for Dingo Martin West. He had absolutely nothing to do with it. I never had a conversation with him. I fought that matter with Mr. John Jeremy, and we secured the land and preserved it to establish a savannah-type park down there with a jogging track and a cycling track around the periphery and playing fields and an amphitheater and all of that. What he did, he took the land from the city because there was no mayor to stop him. He took the land from the city and gave a big chunk to the regional corporation of Dingo Martin. He gave a big chunk to First Citizens Bank. And the list goes on. And then he took a big piece to build a bypass to service the people coming out of West Mall. I'm saying to you, these are the things that if you have strong local government on, the Prime Minister trying to do that would have to go to court with me on that matter.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Rambachan, your take.
Yeah, no, that's what Louis is saying, because, you know, it reminds me also of a situation where I became mayor of Chaguanas, and State Park was in grass 10 feet high. And, you know, I decided that, you know, that used to be a cricket ground in the first instance. And I wanted to transform it now into a park because the cricket ground could no longer be accommodated. And I went to the then PNM government and got $175,000 approved through the tourism board and so on to do the work. And my own councillors, supported by a central MP, came and protested and said that should not be done. And then you realize that what they wanted was to have State Park not developed so that the PNM could look bad, but not realizing that the council was looking bad. And thanks to Mr. Pandey, and you know, I must say, Mr. Pandey's vision is always a vision of equality and what is right. And Mr. Pandey stood up against those very councillors and MP and asked me one question. He says, can you, Mayor, do this work and get this place transformed with the money that you are getting? I said, yes. And today, State Park is what it is. It's with a major green space park there that accommodates next to it an Olympic approved training facility for beach volleyball and so on. Those are things that, you know, people wouldn't remember that a mayor did, but I'm showing you the kind of transformation that can go on if, as Louis saying, you have strong leadership. Now, I really do believe that local government is necessary. I think that is important, but I think that we have a major job to do in this round to educate our people as to what and why they must vote in this election. I have no problem with people also using this local government election as a referendum on crime, because that is a major issue in the country. And if this local government election could be used to send a message to the government that we don't like it so, we don't appreciate how we are dealing with the criminal situation, then use the local government elections also as a point of referendum on such a matter. But at the same time, we have to bring people, engage people, and bring them in the process. And this is where we have to engage, as Louis correctly said, the NGOs. The NGOs will have a crucial role to play in bringing out voters in this local government election by pointing out to them that if they're involved and they control local government, how we can go about making the effective changes that we want to make. Just, you know, let me throw out something. Has the time come for good independent people, like happened with the Borough Action Team under Ramesh Muthu, I believe it was, and Aloy Likwa and others in San Fernando, to come forward in this round of election and have a Chaguanas Action Team, San Fernando Action Team, Arima Action Team, under Louis, Port of Spain Action Team, and so on, and really fight these elections and bring right people, right ideas, and deal with the issues as we go forward.
I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning. It's been a pretty interesting discussion, and I'm sure that as we move forward with local government, it's going to be with us for a while, so we'll be discussing this for the foreseeable future. Thank you once again for being with us here this morning and sharing your insights on these issues that you as well believe need to be discussed. Thanks once again.
Thank you for having us, Satish. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Satish.
And that, of course, ladies and gentlemen, now we drop the curtains on this interview. Our guests, former Port of Spain Mayor Louis Lee Sing, former Chaguanas Mayor, former MP as well, Dr. Suraj Ratan Rambachan. Local government. Now we just barely scratched the surface there of all that entails when it comes to local government, the issues surrounding it.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.